have shiur in my house. It's not an easy thing to have the house set up for a shiur and have people come here and then have to reset the house after the people leave. And they have an achrayus, even sometimes when the balabatim were not here, we have the shiur anyway. In their absence, they open their house and let people in here. The walls have absorbed a lot of Torah, and it's not just they let cheap people come. They serve tremendous amount of cookies and coffee and I don't know what else is there, but at least it keeps people awake. And it's a tremendous force, so we appreciate it. And some people said, no, we shouldn't have the shiur in the house, we should have it in the shul or whatever. But the truth is that if we'd have it in the shul, not more people would come. And it's very nice to be a Hamish thing. Yeah. It adds to the shiur. And the people who come, and I assume gain something from it. And people don't come, I'm sure, have other things that they have to do, whatever they come to you, whatever it may be. So in fact, this is the shiur is known as Wednesday night at the Nordens. That's what Rafi Shachar did. That's what it says on the website, no? Mm-hmm. So
I once actually in Google, I typed in Norden to see what there is under the name, and that's the first time I knew that this shiur was called Wednesday night in Norden popped up.
So Mir Sashan should be able to, all of us, continue this for many, many years without any interruption, except for good things like renovating the house or whatever.
Amen. And including and especially the Magid Shir.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's my job. But you don't have to come here. So. And you should.
I have to come here, yeah. My wife keeps telling me I don't have to come here.
And you surely don't have to offer your house, so.
So, sure, if Norton's, Mr. Norton won't be there.
Okay, let me just. Little interesting things about the Ramchal. Okay, the Ramchal was born in Padua, in Italy, in 1707, Tov Samach Zayin, which is a while back. And he died in Akko in 1747, 40 years old. It's beyond belief what a person can accomplish in 40 years. His Rebbe Mufak was Rabbi Shaya Basson from the yeshiva in Padua. It's interesting, he learned also, some say, under Yitzhak Lampronti. Yitzhak Lampronti wrote the first encyclopedia of Yiddishkeit, Encyclopedia Talmudis. It's, you can buy it, it's a Pachad Yitzhak, it's called. It's a 20-volume thing, and I think some say he learned from him this idea of classification. That was the koach of the Ramchal, that he classified everything. Took midos, made. You'll see in the Hakdamah, the Derech Hashem, he speaks about how to approach any subject, and that was a major idea. You have to see the generality and break it down into its components, and then you can deal with the details. They say before he was he was a genius. I mean, obviously, but before he was 14, he knew all of Shas by heart. And he also knew all the Kisvei HaRizal by heart. So he was a Mekubal already at 14. When he was 17, he gave out his first sefer called Loshen Limudim, which was, a sefer on how to learn Gemara or whatever properly. He was Osik a lot in Kabbalah when he was still teenager in his early 20s, but not just Stam Kabbalah with Shemos, and he claimed that he had Magidim come to learn with him, and he put out different things that this I heard from Avraham Avinu, this I heard from Yitzchak, this I heard from Eliyahu or whatever, and he publicized this. And because this was not too long after Shabtai Tzvi, the Rabbanim, especially in Berlin and in where else, in Vilna, had their doubts whether he was, and he also spoke about Mashiach and Geula, and they were afraid that he was another Shabtai Tzvi, because Shabtai Tzvi was also a genius. And they put a cherim on him, and they prohibited him from putting out any svarim to do with Kabbalah. And it's interesting that Derech Hashem was probably put out during that time, and doesn't mention at all any Kabbalistic phrases. But if you know how to learn Derech Hashem, it's all Kabbalah. It's just put into simple terms, but all the Kisvei Arizal are included in Derech Hashem. So he basically, I heard this from Rabbi Bechofer, he basically fooled a little bit the people, put him in Cherem, and he kept his word. He didn't speak about Kabbalah openly, but hid it in these things. He had a chabura of people that learned together, and they had a takana, this chabura that learned together. Some of the takanas were all the schar of their mitzvahs would go to Klal Yisrael and to the Rabbanu Shel Olam to give them nachas ruach, not personal things. They were very biyachad, and they were kabbal each one to love the other one, and not to have tainas on the other ones, only to give musar to each other. Everything that they would learn would be kept private and secret to themselves. And in any case, the Rabbanim in Italy recognized who he was, but the Rabbanim outside of Italy were very much choshish, like we said, that he was another Shabtai Tzvi. And they put they said, first of all, for a person to be Osik in Kabbalah and claim, in Kabbalah Mises, where he did things with Shemus or whatever, and claimed that he had Malachim and Magidim come to him, and he wasn't married, and he was in Chutz La'aretz, so they put a cherim until he'll get married and leave Chutz La'aretz and go to Eretz Yisrael, he can't be involved in any of these things. Eventually, he ran away from Italy and settled in Amsterdam, where he became a diamond cutter to earn a parnasa, but he got a chabura over there of people, and he had a lot of choshev rabbanim who were on his side. He wasn't married till later. Then he got married to the daughter of Big Talmud Chacham, Rav Pinchi, here somewhere. In any case, and then he eventually moved to Eretz Israel a year before he was Nifter. That's Rav David Pinchi, right, who was a Talmud of Rav Moshe Zakos. So Choshev Achronim. He wrote more than 40 svarim in 40 years that he was alive, he went, went to Amsterdam, and there he got, like I said, he was a diamond cutter, a diamond polisher or whatever, and he had his chabur over there. And there, some people say that this Derech Hashem and Mesil Sasham were written then, some say they were written before that. The Vilna Gaon, when he saw, like I said, the Mesilas Yesharim, he said, there's not an extra word in the first 11 prakim of Mesilas Yesharim. Every word is weighed out. He could see how every word was weighed out. And he said that if the Ramchal would have been alive in his time, he would have walked to Amsterdam to learn by him. In Tuf Kuf Gimel, he went to Eretz Yisrael and settled in Akko, and in Tuf Kuf Zayin on Chav Vav Iyar, he was Nifter. His whole family was died of some kind of plague that was there then, and the whole family died out. So he left over no children.
He died in Akko, I think.
Huh?
He died in
So the big shiloh where he's buried. We don't know if he's buried, some say in Kfar Yosef, which is near Akko. So that was one. Or in Tveria, which is more famous, or Mekubal. And there are different traditions that contradict each other. So it's not clear that he's buried there in Tveria.
You were saying this last week.
Right. Okay. That's... So in any case, the Derech Hashem, we're just going to read off the topics that it deals with. So you'll see that there's room for a lot of very interesting shiurim. Just what he says is you don't need more than that. First is a Hakdama. The Hakdama describes how to approach any issue and break it down into its components. Very interesting. It's not a long Hakdama. And then the first parak deals with what's it called, how we're supposed to understand the Rabbanu Shalom, what you're supposed to believe about the Rabbanu Shalom, and then what's the purpose of creation, what's the purpose of human beings, how a person is supposed to live in this world, right, and all the different things that were created, what are their purpose, why did the Rabbanu Shalom create all the other things in the world. That's the Yisodos HaMetzius. And then Hashgacha, how does the Rabbanu Shalom deal with the world, his what's it called, divine providence. Right? How is it applied to Jews? How does it apply to Goyim, or whatever? How does it work? How does it? What does it come through the stars and things like that? Okay, and then describing a person's nefesh and how a person can use shemos and kishuf. What is that? What's ruach hakodesh and nevuah? How does Nevuah work? What's the difference between Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah and all the other Nevi'im? And then he speaks about Torah and mitzvahs, the purposes behind mitzvahs or whatever, Kriya Shema, Tefillah, what's it called, Zmanim, and what's it called, basically is Derech Hashem means this is an overview of all of Yiddishkeit, but not halachic, and not just superficial, but how are the underpinnings and the workings, how do all these things work. So it's really a sadistic sefer.
Okay. Besides what's packed in Derech Hashem, yeah. The first parak of Yisus Hasharim, most possible alumna.
Yeah, that's more of Musa. But
it's a synopsis of the first shar of Derech Hashem.
Yeah, okay, there it's more from a hashkafic Musar part. Here it's more from how does it work? What's the purpose? Not so much the same. Yisus Hasharim is more Midos and Musar. And this is more hashkafa.
What's packed into that first parak of Yisus Hasharim?
Right.
Is Marami is a lot, but it's in the first shot.
Yeah.
I heard from the Rav once that he used to write plays. Does Rav know anything about that?
The Ramchal? He wrote. I don't know if he wrote plays. He wrote songs. He wrote shirim. Supposedly, they accused him of writing his own Tehillim and his own Zohar. If that's not the case, he wrote Shirim like Tehillim. But he didn't want to make that in place of Tehillim. And he wrote Kabbalah on him. He didn't mean that to take the place of the Zohar. But that's one thing that they accused him of also, that he wrote Tehillim. The plays? I don't think.
I don't know.
Yeah?
Given he's so sharp, it can take a whole other version.
Yeah, but that's not a play. That's just a way of presenting the thing.
The person said actually he's a shaman in a certain way. That's what the Rav's appointment is now. He said that he was participating.
No, he's an
actor.
Yeah, okay, I'm not
sure. Do you have children?
I don't think so. I mean, let's be. He didn't get married, and all his family, even if he had children, they all died.